Dirty
birds, we set the tone. We fly high to the end zone.
Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. We are in the bye week. Wild card round. We do not play this weekend. And so we're just going to talk about a bunch of different stuff. And we being Daniel Cox.
Yes, hey.
And Anthony the intern, AJ.
How you doing?
Always coming with a song.
He's so... melodious.
He is. You two almost headbutted each other going in for the microphone there.
Yeah, then I would have had a black eye, and then I would have had to come up with the excuse for why I came.
Yeah, and you're an intern. You're not getting workers' comp either.
No.
All right, well, it's a special week. Obviously, this is, if you're like me, this is the week that you have been waiting for, the 2 weeks, actually, that you've been waiting for all year, because it's the opportunity to change your destiny, so to speak, change your past at least, and kind of, I don't like shutting people up, but no, it's kind of like
It's kind of like going off to college, right?
Okay, here we go. All right, you've got the microphone.
In high school, you are who you are, and maybe you don't like your place in the society of high school. And when you move to college, that's your opportunity to kind of start over, and everyone kind of forgets or doesn't even know, you know, all your past and all that. So, you know, the playoffs for this year's playoffs are like the Falcons going off to college. They got a fresh start. You know, the things that have happened in 2008 and 2010, 11. You know, no one has to know about that anymore. So. That's kind of how I see it.
You know what I did when I went from high school to college?
I think we discussed this at lunch.
Yeah, probably shouldn't. Okay. So the Falcons coming off the bye week will get ready for the biggest game of the year.
Absolutely. And
you can feel it already. Like, it's way different this year. And you know, because you were here 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was here 2 years ago. That week was very different, that bye week, before you started to get ready for that game against Green Bay.
It was an unusual 2 weeks in general, you know.
Yeah, it really was.
The week before the game was the infamous Atlanta ice storm.
Yeah.
That kept everyone locked in for days on end.
Here's the time frame. You get the bye week, okay? If I remember correctly, and I think I do,
okay,
the Falcons got together on that Monday. After the game, day after the game, got together that Monday, watched some film. Next day, practiced. And then we're given the rest of the week off Wednesday through Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't practice at all Wednesday through Sunday.
That's correct.
Came back on Monday. That Sunday night, huge snowstorm, huge by our standards here.
Was it Sunday night?
It was Sunday night.
Okay. Because I was out of town and I came back in. I guess I just beat it.
Yeah. It was Sunday night. Because, and if you're listening out there, tweet me and correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. I believe I'm remembering this correctly, though. It was Sunday night because the next morning was when they were reporting back for their first practice. And I know a lot of players had a lot of trouble getting to the facility. I couldn't get to the facility that first day.
Yeah.
I was able to make it in the next day. Maybe it was Monday night that it snowed. I don't know. Anyways, it was at the very beginning of that week. It threw the rest of that practice week off. And, you know, at the time, nobody's like, everybody's like, oh, well, we're not going to make excuses and everything. But it did. I think it affected the way this team prepared. When Croy Bierman is towing John Abraham out of a ditch because he drove off the road. Because he was trying to get to practice. It has a way of affecting your preparation for that week.
You can't say that it didn't. I mean, no one ever used that as an excuse. But that was a factor in how the Falcons prepared that week.
Right. Exactly. I totally agree. Anyway, this week, very, very different. I think just from the preparation standpoint, you know, the Falcons were off Monday. A lot of players did come in on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were off Tuesday. That's their normal
Which
day
is
off.
Typical, yeah.
Monday and Tuesday is very typical days to have off in the NFL. Came in Wednesday, started preparing like it was there was a Sunday game. Mm-hmm. They practiced Wednesday, practiced today, they'll practice again tomorrow, they'll practice again Saturday. Completely different. I mean, almost complete opposite
yeah.
of what we saw a couple of years ago.
You know, and to interrupt you, it is the opposite, and they are practicing, but I will say that, you know, coach has made sure to it's not a typical week, and they're not practicing quite. I guess maybe the practice's length is longer, but after a certain point in the day, which is much earlier than it usually is during a regular week, they're free to leave. So
yeah,
so they have some time, I think, a little more, but they're getting on the field this week.
And the practices aren't nearly intense. You know, there's an intensity to it, but they're not the speed of it. I'm talking. You know, you don't want your guys out there running full speed right now and risking injury and everything.
It's not necessary.
Things look like they're having fun. It looks intense. And it's focused.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, I think, the biggest thing. And, you know, we've written about it a little bit this week, is just how, you know, you kind of keep – I love what Tony Gonzalez said last week, and I think it was right after the Tampa game. Is like you keep the engine revved up.
Yeah.
You keep the car revved up, because when you turn it off – and you go away for 5 days, and then suddenly you got to come back and turn it on. If you keep it at the same level, you don't have as high to go to get it back to that
right.
level as before. And I think that's the philosophy behind everything this week. I like it. It's a great idea.
It feels like a normal week. It feels like it could be week 13 or week 4.
I'm gonna wake up Sunday and be like, oh yeah, I don't have a game to go to.
Yeah,
it's gonna be weird.
That'll be nice though.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
But,
you know, but also we've heard so much about, you know, coaches said it a lot, Falcons on Falcons this week, players have said it a little bit. You know, I've been asking guys what does that mean, you know. Sometimes you get a little bit different explanation than players or than Coach Smith will give you. But it's really just what it says. I mean, it's the Falcons are practicing Falcons stuff. They're practicing their own plays, but they're doing it. So, for instance, in the Falcons offense will have a play out of Dirk Cutter's playbook, and they'll run it against, you know, a Mike Nolan defensive play. It's almost like a scrimmage, that they're scrimmaging against each other. They're kind of working off what they see.
And Harry Douglas told me, he says there's a lot of pride that comes out of that.
Yeah,
because these guys are ultra competitive, and we even saw today. I think it's a carryover from the game last night, the Louisville Florida game. But Mike Peterson and Harry Douglas, you know, are jawing a little bit, you know, and it's totally in fun. It's not Absolutely. Anything like what you would see like in training camp.
Right? Oh yeah,
but you know, it's that competitiveness that I think is keeping these guys focused right now. And
Absolutely.
it's like Sean Weatherspoon said yesterday, your opponent this week, if you're on offense, if you're on defense, your opponent this week has won 13 games.
Yeah.
Deep, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
That is deep.
What do you think about that, AJ? That's pretty deep, huh?
That touches the soul. It has meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being in a poetry slam. And you hear that good word or that good line that speaks to you, that speaks to me. I like to snap to it.
All right, well, I'm going to have to take your word for it, because I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
I think AJ left his beret in his cubicle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fine.
He gets what I'm saying.
Nah, I don't know if he gets it so much as...
He
understands it. No. All right, well... you know, the injury situation, we've talked a little bit about. You know, obviously Donte Robinson goes down with a head injury, and John Abraham goes down with an ankle injury in the Tampa Bay game. Everything that we've heard is that both are going to be playing in the divisional round game. So what you thought was a really, really scary situation, and it was.
Oh, man.
I mean, at some point, we're watching that Tampa game, and from the get-go, like, Roddy White's getting hit hard. Ryan's getting hit hard.
Tyson Klabo went down for a minute. Klabo
went down for a minute, and we're all just, ooh. And I'm sure it's everybody out there watching. Sante. Yeah, Sante.
Oh, that's right.
Sante
went
out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those are the things that you worry about going into that game, and I think, yeah, you had a couple injuries, but it looks like everything's going to be okay. Everything, you know, from what Coach Smith says, you know, William Moore is a guy who's probably going to be back next week.
That's a big one.
And so really you look at going into the playoffs at full strength pretty much,
Yeah.
which is a nice place to be.
Absolutely.
The bye helps.
Yeah.
The bye helps in that situation.
That's a good point. That's right where you want to be. And Coach Smith was talking about it this morning. He said, you know, you want to end training camp as healthy as you can be, and you want to enter the postseason as healthy as you can be. And, you know, I can't, training camp, July and August seem so far away now. I don't even recall what the injury situation was, but I don't remember it being anything critical. I don't recall anyone missing.
Well, Corey Peters was out for the first 6 weeks.
Okay, yeah, that was one. But otherwise, I don't remember anything super.
And that was before training camp. So nothing really happened during training camp.
That's true. So that's right where Coach wanted to be, and that's always his goal. And it's a crapshoot. You cross your fingers, and you hope you get some luck.
It's a physical sport.
Luck thrown your way, yeah.
It's the nature of the game. Everybody, yeah. Look, I know a lot of people are getting upset
at
that Tampa game. Look, that's football.
You can't, yeah.
It's football. It's just how it is. Week 6, week 17, doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I still there are people that felt like, you know, they didn't quite understand what the direction of the team was in that game, and I just feel like Coach Smith was put in a pretty tough position where, you know, there's going to be detractors on either side of his decision. Yeah, and
exactly.
You know, I think he did the right thing in telling his guys that we're playing to win, we're going to play hard, because you don't ever want, you know, some of those guys, like these world-class athletes, to – you know, in their mind, you know, go 50% and go out, and that's when you can really get injured. So I think they did the right thing. I think they just lost the game, and, you know, they had a couple of injuries, but injuries are going to come in this game.
Yep.
You know, and I don't think you can manage your team or play to avoid those kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's like you said, he's darned if he does, darned if he doesn't in that situation. It's a good situation to be in.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there's pitfalls on both sides. So usually this is the point where we would go right on to our ever-popular buy or sell segment. We're going to change things up. Our life-changing buy or sell segment. And actually, before we get to that, New Year's into the New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody out there. Any resolutions, guys? Anything? Just crickets. Crickets. No resolutions. AJ Scott.
Nah, I think I'm good.
No, you're good.
I think I'm good.
No need for personal improvement this year.
Well, there's always improvements. I mean, mm-hmm. I want to see, for myself, I want to see a little bit more dancing on Feed AJ.
I've been saying that for weeks.
I promise you, Falcons fans, I'm gonna do a special playoff bracket for Feed AJ. And we're going to have a dance competition. That's what I want to do.
All right. Let's see what happens.
Huh. Okay. You've got, you know, I guess 2 or 3 Feed AJs left, right?
Yep.
The Super Bowl edition is going to be pretty freaking awesome.
In New Orleans.
Just say that.
That's what you hope for.
Yeah.
Nothing. We haven't really thought about the next year, huh? I'm disappointed in you guys,
dude. I'm in. I don't know. This is only the third day into the new day. My
you're
resolution
to think
was
about
to be more proactive.
Yes, you're week. Supposed to think of. Yeah, exactly. There's your resolution. Next year, your resolution is to think of resolutions.
Yeah, there you go. It's a
good idea.
Step by step. Something I'd rather not share, but hey
you that's know, fine.
My personal. I don't know. I want to be better this year than I was last year. I've heard that before.
That's good.
So, what about you, Jay?
Yeah, I've got some that I'm not gonna go ahead and share here. I think one that I can share is to get off the coffee a little bit more.
What?
Yeah. I've really taken a liking to coffee in the past year.
I mean,
and it's been great.
When you got that machine in that break room.
We've
right
got that Starbucks
like two
machine.
Steps away from you.
I know.
I don't blame you.
But I'm there all the time. It's like you look at my desk, I've got Gatorades, I've got water, and yet all I can think about is filling up this coffee cup right now.
Coffee is so good, though.
Once it is delicious.
This is what you do. You put a lot of cream and sugar and stuff in it?
I don't use sugar.
That's good.
I don't use sugar.
That's great.
I stay away from the sugar.
Okay.
I do the sweetener.
What do you sweeten it with if you don't use sugar?
Well, there's a difference between sugar and sweetener.
Oh, okay. Well, here.
So, like, equal.
Why don't you use agave nectar?
Where you get that at?
grocery stores. Oh. Publix, one of our fine sponsors.
where they do that at?
Seriously, it's good stuff.
Okay.
It's a great substitute for sugar.
All right.
And drink drink decaf.
Okay.
Do decaf because you're not drinking you're not drinking it for the caffeine, are you?
No, I like like the taste, and it makes me feel like an adult.
It doesn't do anything for me except,
I look at you and your hair is just completely disheveled. You've got a big old cup of coffee in front of you.
Yeah, but I actually do have a resolution.
Okay, you just thought of one? Good. Now's as good a time as any, I guess.
But seriously, man, I want to be on a level that I see when I come in here. You two both are highly respected people in the organization. And I hope to be to that level one day. So that's what I strive for every single day.
Man, I don't even know where to go from that. We might as well wrap it up.
Yeah, deep thoughts from AJ. Thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was very good. Nice of you. I would say to you that you got a good start.
Yeah,
you're on your way. Fine job.
Absolutely on your way. Listen to everything Daniel Cox says and do the opposite, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so anyways, we'll get on to the replacement for our buy or sell this week. Buy or sell will be back next week,
absolutely.
Will it not, Daniel?
Yes.
We will be buying and selling with yes. a fervor.
With abandon.
Yes. But this week we're going to go and do something a little special. We solicited on Twitter your favorite moments from the 2012 regular season, and this is by no means a season wrap-up, as we still have...
Favorite moments of the regular season.
That's what I said.
Yes.
That's the caveat. So then there were a lot of them, and we got a great response.
It was an avalanche of
It was an avalanche of Twitter responses. Yes. So what we're going to do is AJ is going to go through and read these off, these moments we thought ultimately should be the top five moments.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to rank them.
Rank them.
Like we normally
do.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, and one thing, a lot of you fans, you know, said things like, you know, the 34-0 win over the Giants, and that was, that was one of the greatest games the Falcons have played in my years with the Falcons. But we wanted to try to narrow it down to a moment within some of those games. So that's kind of, you know, just felt like a disclaimer of sorts.
There you go. All right. All right, AJ, take it away and spin the hits.
Okay, the first one, let's see. 3 interceptions against Peyton Manning in the first quarter.
Okay, we all remember that one, right?
That was week 3, first Monday night.
Week 2. Home opener.
Home opener. Okay. The second one, Asante's pick 6 against Oakland.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. The third one, fourth quarter comeback against Carolina from the 1-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that was a good game.
That was.
And the next one, Asante Samuel interception of Eli Manning on the second play versus the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a couple of weeks ago, guys.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The last one, Falcons 23-13 win over the Saints in the loud Georgia Dome after picking off Drew Brees 5 times.
Very good moments there.
Yeah, and that last one is kind of a game. I guess, like, kind of opposite of what I said, but you know that game was.
Let's look at it as the moment when the clock hit zero.
There you go. Fair enough.
That was a great moment.
Yeah, and a couple other. But anyway,
yes,
we'll get to it.
Okay.
All right.
So we're gonna lead off with number 5.
Number 5.
This is our 5th best moment. For me, it's Asante Samuel's interception of Eli Manning on the second play of the game versus the Giants. That's gonna be my 5th. Favorite moment, certainly an exciting moment, and I went nuts, and you know, it was just one of those great plays, and that's so typical Asante Samuel too. Like, yeah. You could tell Manning never saw him.
Yeah,
never saw him because he never would have thrown that football if he saw Deuce.
Yeah,
waiting
and on that on his end of the field.
Yeah,
you know, yeah.
So him picking that off, huge play, ultimately set the tone for that game. One of definitely one of my favorite moments of the year. Number five for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're thinking.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, I don't know. Because I look at the list and I think, you know, it's a moment, but how did it impact the whole season? Like, how did it help?
Man, just stop.
Okay.
Just be a fan for a minute. All right. What were the moments that got you going?
Okay. Isn't that right? Fair enough. All right, then I would have to say it. I'd have to agree with you.
Okay.
You know, I love that moment, Asante picking off Eli in the first quarter, second play of the game, first pass from Eli, I think it was. I think they ran the ball on the first play. I love that moment because I felt like that really did propel. You know, that was the fast start the Falcons had been talking about for weeks.
And coming off that Carolina game.
Absolutely.
It was huge.
The fast start on defense, and it came from Asante, which is, I love it when he makes big plays.
Yeah.
You know, and the Falcons just fed off of it. They turned around, and, you know, they had great field position because of that, and they scored their first touchdown on Micah Turner run, and it was just off to the races from there. Ended up being 34-0 against the Super Bowl champs. That's a great day at the Georgia Dome.
Great day.
But if I'm looking at, you know, if these are our top five moments of the season, I'm going to say that was my fifth favorite moment.
Okay.
All right.
Now, what's your fourth? We'll let you go first on number
okay.
four.
Okay. I would have to – I can't believe I'm going to say this, but my fourth is the fourth quarter comeback against Carolina on the one-yard line.
Okay.
That's where we started. I'll just kind of remind you if you forgot. It was less than a minute ago. It was actually 59 seconds left in the game, and Matt threw a 59-yard pass to Roddy White. And I'll never forget watching the ball go in the air. And I think we talked about this on the podcast. It felt like slow motion.
Yeah, it really did.
But it's my fourth because I remember that game and I remember that situation and it was a comeback, but I've kind of begun to adopt that feeling that the Falcons players have where I don't ever feel like the Falcons are out of a game unless it's a blowout, and we haven't really experienced that necessarily. I don't ever feel like the Falcons are out of that. So it was a great play, but it was almost something like I expected it to happen.
Yeah. I can totally see that. I'm going to disagree with you, though, and I'm going to go with three interceptions against Peyton Manning in the first quarter against the Denver Broncos. And I think this was a great, great moment because for a lot of reasons. Because coming into that Monday night game, we all thought it was, you know, we knew it was going to be Peyton Manning versus Matt Ryan, and that was going to be the real big matchup. And Peyton Manning, he was coming back, and, like, he had only had one game before then. After his
neck surgery.
And nobody knew if he'd ever play again, and suddenly he's back, and what kind of Peyton Manning is he going to be? And so you had all those unknowns coming into it, and then it's Monday Night Football, and it's the home opener, and there's so many different levels of excitement for that one. And you see that first interception, and you're just like, wow, like that's so huge. And then the second one, you're like, no way. And then the third one comes, and you're like, that's unbelievable. I don't think I'll ever see that again.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're also happy for a guy like Robert McClain, who got his first that
Absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely.
You know, look how he's turned out for the Falcons. So yeah. Certainly a huge moment in this season. And so I put that one in number four.
The number four. Okay.
All right, number three.
Number three.
I'll go on to number three. We'll do a little bit of a ladder here.
All right.
All right, for me, it's going to be the fourth quarter comeback against Carolina from the one-yard line. I think when I think of that play or that string of plays, really, that whole drive,
yeah,
it's so classic Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
It's like you say, you just come to expect these kinds of things. You're like, you remember 2 years ago in 2010 when you were down to the 49ers.
Oh, 49ers.
In week three.
I'll
never forget that. Either because that's a game where, like, you just all they have to do is run out the clock, get a first down, and next thing you know, it's off to the races. Or excuse me, it was the interception. I'm sorry, and yeah. Then
Roddy caught up with him,
caused the fumble,
like on a 5 yard line.
Caught up with Nate Clemens.
And Tyson Klebo.
No, Harvey Dahl.
Harvey Dahl. Okay.
See, our memories are terrible.
Of all people.
Right.
Why would he be that far down the
field? And Matt gets the ball back and takes us down the field, and yeah. We end up winning. And it was like that same kind of feeling. It was like, okay, there's 59 seconds left. You're on your 1 yard line. You've had kind of a rough go of it, but you know what? This is when Matt Ryan shines.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me, like, I was just sitting there watching that game, and like you said, he throws that pass and the ball's up in the air, and you're just like, it's just slow.
Yeah.
Everything slows down. Yeah. You're just like, oh yeah, oh yeah.
It's like one shining moment started playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You're like, you just shed a tear.
Yeah.
And yeah. No, it was like that. And so for me, hugely memorable moment from 2012, one of my favorites.
Absolutely. Okay. Number three for me is, yeah, definitely the three interceptions against Peyton Manning in the first quarter. That was, for me as a fan, I'm just watching it, you know, and I have a great deal of respect for Peyton. You know, he's one of those top quarterbacks that you talk about. You know, we had that discussion last week, you know, elite quarterbacks, and Peyton's always going to be in that list. And certainly, you know, his season last year, or lack thereof, is a factor in all of that. And it was a Monday night, I think it was, second game of the season. I love Monday night games. I love, like, the primetime games at the Georgia Dome. It's I love being in there for that atmosphere. And so all that combined, and then it came in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, William Moore, Thomas Dekou, and then Robert McClain got the third one. That was a great moment, and I feel like that propelled the, if I'm going to kind of analyze it a little bit, I feel like that compelled the defense, certainly through the first half. That was their big, that was their moment, mm-hmm. almost. I think a lot of, like, I think Thomas Dekou would probably point to that moment as a big factor in helping them gain that, it's not even confidence, but just that, you know, the knowledge that they can do this against these guys,
right?
You know, big time quarterbacks like Peyton. And that was a great first quarter. It was so exciting, and it just felt like every time you turn around, Peyton's throwing the ball to a Falcons player.
Yeah, it really did feel that way.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get on to number two. There's two left, and go ahead and lead it off with number two for yourself.
All right, I think we can see where we're headed here. I'm going to say Asante Samuel's pick six against Oakland. The play in itself, it might be the best top play of the year. But I just love the play. I love Asante. I love how he plays. I love everything he's brought to the Falcons. I love how he carries himself on the field. He's an exciting guy to watch. And when we brought him to Atlanta, we learned quickly, you know, all the different nicknames, one of which is Pick Six.
Yep.
And that's what he gave us that night, or that day, against Oakland. It was a little bit of a comeback. I think the Falcons were hanging on to a lead, and it was the fourth quarter, less than 3 minutes. Asante picked off Carson Palmer, 79 yards. He ran it back for a touchdown, and that basically iced the game. The Falcons came away winning because of that. And I don't remember, like, I'm pretty sure he, honestly, I can't remember him running it back. I remember the catch, and I remember, you know, the feeling of relief knowing, all right, we got this one. Thanks, Asante.
And it was one of those situations where you're just like, oh, man, we need a turnover.
Yeah.
And yeah. We got it. And I'm going to say that for me, it's same for number two, Asante's pick.
That's a tough one, though. There's a part of me that wants to put it at number one.
Yeah, it really felt that way because, you know, you see where you get these guys that come in, and whether they're traded for or you assign them as free agents, you're like, you really want to see them do something, you know,
yeah.
Do what they've been known to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that moment where you were like, that's why we made that trade.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had, believe me, I've had plenty of moments where I've sat back and I'm like, a seventh rounder?
Yeah, I know.
Really? Wow. I mean, what an amazing trade. And so that for me was one of those moments where you're just like, pays dividends to have a guy like that around. And
absolutely.
You know, he proved it then. So I think for number one, you know, we can all say.
Real quick, though.
Oh, so you're going to ruin my thunder. Go ahead.
I apologize. I just want to throw this in, though, because I feel like it's important to say this. Based on the feedback from the fans on Twitter, oh, man, I mean, this was their play. They I can't even tell you how many responses I got that said, you know, Asante's pick. So you know, just a little nod to the fans. That was kind of their number one play, right. I felt like, just based on number of responses.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say the Saints, the win over the Saints. I think anytime you beat the Saints, like, I don't even care. You know, that was a week where I had been hearing I blocked so many Saints fans on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were just clouding up my mentions, and I don't want to listen to that. So I just So getting that win over the Saints and picking off Drew Brees five times and then ending that streak.
Yeah.
Was so huge for me, and it's definitely one of those moments that you remember. You're like, wow, I was there for that game. So for me, that one's a slam dunk. I think any time you beat a division rival right like that, ratchets it up a little bit more. So
absolutely, division rival. It's the Saints, you know, Falcons, Saints. That there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of dislike, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't. It ended Drew Brees' streak. It ended a tough run the Falcons have had against the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, winning games. It was at home, and it knocked the Saints out of playoff contention as well. And that was kind of like the final nail for me. Like that was that last little caveat or whatever. That was like, oh yeah, the Saints.
Right.
They aren't going to the playoffs this year.
Right.
Thanks, Falcons.
Right.
We did this.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was a good feeling. That was a satisfying win. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So there's our five moments. And, of course. AJ's got something to say. What can we do for you, AJ?
What's the top three craziest things you have seen this year?
Oh.
First thing that comes to my mind is that I don't remember what team it was against, but Harry Douglas's catch.
I was just thinking that.
Like, he was falling on, he was on the ground and it like bounced off a guy's head or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was an amazing, amazing catch. I would say we were just talking about it, but Jaquizz Rogers' block in the Tampa Bay game where a
slobber knocker,
a defender's mouthpiece went flying. that block was pretty amazing.
There was a Tony Gonzalez touchdown catch.
Yeah.
I was.
Oh, what game was that?
I thought it was against the Saints. I spent half the morning trying to figure this out. I can't remember. I got to go back, dig through all the film.
I remember I think it was it might have been the Giants game.
But I don't even remember the details. I just remember it being amazing.
Well, I remember tweeting after that. I remember saying something like, it is such an honor to watch this guy play football. Yeah. And it is.
Absolutely.
And But it was that catch where it was just like, man.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember. It was just something. It was just like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, it was a Tony Gonzalez touchdown catch.
Yeah, it was totally Tony. So those would be my craziest things. What about you? I think maybe the gentleman in the parking lot wearing tape might be up there.
Man, let me tell you about that guy right
there. Tell us about that situation.
Man, okay, I was doing my fun field segment called Feed AJ, which is on AtlantaFalcons.com. If you haven't checked that out, please go do it right now. But it was a guy, we was leaving the tailgate, and the other intern, me and the other intern, RC3, we was walking, I was like, man, that's a sharp, snazzy guy right there, man. He came up, man, he had this all pure white suit, and I was like, man, he's sharp. But then when he came up on me, I saw the whole detail, man.
What was the detail?
Man, from the toes up, man, he had a pair of moccasins on.
Uh-huh.
Then he goes up, he had the white pants with the white jacket, then he had the hat on.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little furry hat. But then the suit, the detail suit, he had black and red tape. He had black and red tape on the suit. And then for the tie, it was actually a shred. He got so creative, he made a tie out of tape. And man, he made one of those little things like in the Westerns, how they had
bolo tie.
Yeah, the little bolo tie. Mm-hmm. He had made it into a little bolo tie. And I was like, man, this man is sharp. But he kind of reminded me of the rapper Trinidad James, an old school Trinidad James.
All
he
tape
had,
everything.
Man, all tape everything. He had the tape. He had the rings on his hand. He had the bling on his wrist. I was like, man, this guy here is sharp. Man, I need to get some pointers from him, man.
I was watching the video, and I almost died when you go up to him and you pull at his jacket, and you're like, what is this, tape?
Yeah, that's what I was dying.
Because I think it was that exact moment where you found out that this man is wearing tape.
Yeah, that's what did it for me, man. I tried to hold my composure, but boy, yeah. That thing was hilarious to me.
Yeah. All right. So what was your what was the second weirdest thing you've ever seen?
Okay, that's the second weirdest thing that I have ever seen was the Falcons. One of the Falcons fans, the Falcon bird lady. I mean, that was the most mind-boggling thing. I mean, she has like the wings. At first, I thought she was dressed up as like Vampirella or something like that. Excuse me. I thought she was dressed up as like Vampirella or something like that. I didn't know what was going on. I was kind of in like a time zone. I was like, am I in the right place? Am I in New Orleans or what? I mean, but yeah, she was kind of weird to me.
Third weirdest thing?
The third weirdest thing.
How about those? And I don't, I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
No, go ahead.
But the cup that you got at the ATL Falcoholics.
My first feed, AJ.
Your first feed, AJ.
Man.
You got the cup, the red Solo cup.
That red Solo cup with the
crystal handle on it.
Man, that whole day, I think that whole day, from that to the neck bone soup that I ate.
Neck bone soup, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I remember.
Oh, man.
It was good.
No, it wasn't. Wasn't nothing good about that. Falcon fan, if you was out there and you was tailgating and you had that neck bone soup, I do apologize. But that was the nastiest thing in my life. I'm being honest. I'm going into 2013 with a clean slate. Charge my head, not my heart. But yeah, that neck bone soup, what would possess somebody to put neck bones in some
I don't know,
soup?
But it looked like you got a big old hunk of neck bone.
Man, I got a big old heap of that fat from whatever it was just gross.
Yep.
But, yeah, those were my top three craziest things that I have ever witnessed.
They're great.
Yeah, it was great. Fun times. Good. But let's get into the final fun segment.
Okay.
Of the final week.
Where we...
Week 17. I think I did well this week.
This is exactly what I was afraid of.
Yeah, man.
All right, introduce it. What is it?
All right, this is the Impact Player of the Weekend wrap-up part. And let's see, Jay, you had Michael Turner, 6 carries, 18 yards, and 1 touchdown.
1 glorious touchdown.
That was a good touchdown.
There you go.
And, okay, Daniel, you had Croy Bierman, number 71, and he had an astounding 2 tackles. And
I see, now I would argue that you can't measure Croy Bierman on his stats.
You can't.
His impact is felt beyond the stat book.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Go ahead. And you want to gloat, I can see it.
No, I'm not going to gloat.
But you are.
I'm not going to gloat about the guy, the running back from Oregon State, who had 88 yards from the line of scrimmage and 50 yards receiving and 28 yards rushing, which is Jaquizz Rodgers. So, I think I'm gonna just go ahead and say we all had good picks last week.
All right, can I just say first of all that somebody doesn't know how to do math? 88 yards from scrimmage, 50 receiving, 28 rushing. What do you get?
Oh, wait a second.
That's 78 yards.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got the whole brain trust together on that one. That? We couldn't figure that. How about that?
50 carry to 1.
Yeah. And yeah. I've broken a sweat.
Yeah. But no, we still going to go with it. I mean, hey.
I mean, it doesn't matter. That 10 yards doesn't make a difference.
Maybe he got didn't he do a kickoff return, punt return?
Yeah, but I don't know. That don't count. No, it doesn't count. Okay. We've got an error of math here.
But either way, I mean, he was still the leading rusher, and he had the most yards receiving. So, I mean, Jaquizz had a good day.
Great day.
If we're saying so of the three guys that we have,
we got to give AJ his due.
Yeah,
because many a time we have looked at him and said, "What were you thinking?" And
like what happened? Mike Peterson,
William Moore when he was inactive.
You mentioned some punter from some team that
I did.
Might as well have.
I said a punter. Well, maybe I did. I who knows? I don't know. I don't know sometimes. But can we do something? Can we do something interesting?
Oh, okay. You're gonna throw something at us?
Yeah, let's throw something at us.
Take them home.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do?
We can do picks. Who would you like to see next week?
Don't do that.
Let's go ahead and get that one going.
Don't do that. I don't care.
I really don't.
I honestly don't care.
Someone asked me that this morning. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I honestly don't care because it doesn't really matter who you want to see.
You're going to play them
anyway.
Because
the games have to be played. And until then, it doesn't matter who you want to see.
I like the familiarity you have with Washington.
Yeah.
I like that you're facing three young quarterbacks. You're also facing three very talented running backs.
Absolutely.
You've got a couple of very good defenses out there. There's a lot of different things that go into this next game that I don't think one scenario helps you out any more than any of the others. Yeah. I really don't. I think all three of those teams are tough, dangerous teams that we're going to have to contend with.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like whoever it is, whatever color shirt they're wearing that day, we got to go out and win. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really, and I'm saying that completely honestly. Like, I'm not looking at one being like, oh, I definitely think we can beat these guys because of this. Like, obviously, I think we can beat all three of them. But I don't think that we can beat one any more than the other. I just think they're all kind of on the same level and they're all good.
Yeah. There's something about the Seahawks that intrigues me, though. Yeah. I'm intrigued by the Seahawks-Falcons matchup. I'll say that.
Yeah.
You know, but
I'm intrigued by all of them. I think they're all three of them. They're going to end up being good matchups.
Yeah, I don't disagree there. I think having to face the Redskins a second time in the season is a little I'm concerned about that. I'd say
it's tough to beat a team twice in one
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely, very absolutely. Tough to beat. I think the Redskins won like seven in a row or something like that as well. Yeah. So, but if I had to answer your question, AJ, that's what I would say. I don't care. Bring it on.
Bring it on. And that's what we're going to do next week when we come back for another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. Right, boys?
I'm right along with you.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on this wayward, crazy edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. If you made it through this far, congratulations. You win our admiration. And we will see you next week. Make sure to join us as we know the opponent and get into some very serious talk about the playoff game.
Playoff talk.
Thanks for joining us again, and we'll catch you on the next edition of the Falcon Cast podcast.